Are you ready to take your Ford ownership to the next level? Introducing Ford Pass at Jim K. Ford, your passport to a world of convenience and control. Start your vehicle remotely, lock or unlock it from your smartphone, receive instant alerts about your vehicle's health, and schedule service appointments. Don't miss out on the Ford Pass revolution at Jim K. Ford, 1438 Uville Drive in Orleans, or online at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
The Steve Warren Project. Sports and whatever.
And here we are once again. It is Steve and Jimmy back again for another episode of the Steve Warren Project. My name is Steve Warren. That there is Jim Jerome. And he's in Sudbury. We're in the same province for this particular episode. Dressed up for the occasion with a soiled white t-shirt. So great to see you, James.
I just picked up the neck of it, you know.
What is new?
Well, yeah, I'm a white t-shirt guy. I have been for years.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, Steve, get so old. I go, no, it's a smoky gray. It's a new kind you can buy. It's Mark's Work Warehouse. Yeah, they're smoky gray, and you can get the low collar if you want. You know,
nice.
Get the
chewed up, twisted, stretched collar. Yeah. And I take it in an extra dingy, please.
Yeah, and Stevie, pajama pants. Okay, I'm getting a little wimpy. I got a cold, you know. Everyone in this freaking town, man, has a cold.
Same here. Everybody in Ottawa, every second person I talk to is dealing with it
Dealing with a cold. So I haven't had one in 100 years. I built up a fantastic immune system, Steve, over the years. Yeah. That a small cold is way down on the list of shit that I should have.
Any viruses that enter your system immediately become embalmed, I think.
Listen, pal. Okay. I've avoided acute pancreatitis, okay? And cirrhosis of the liver.
Nice.
Okay. I don't have that. Do you think I can handle a cold? That ain't getting in here, Stevie. Okay, that ain't getting in here at all. It tries, Steve, but not a chance.
Right.
You know, when God looks at it, goes, no, that guy has come up with a cure for the cold. Yeah. Just a bunch of coke and booze over here.
Do you do what I do? Like, because that's suddenly kind of the same sort of flavor as Norm Macdonald's stand-up comedy, kind of that dark humor. Like, it's that one skit he does about his buddy saying that he's, you know, he's an alcoholic, and Norm, it's a disease, really. He goes, well, the good news is, I think you got the best one there, you know, because my uncle over here has got a bleeding bowel cancer going on right now. Right.
And that's why that
stand up popped into my head and the darkness of it. But I don't know what it is about Norm Macdonald. Every time I jump on YouTube, there seems to be a Norm Macdonald video, and I click on it, and then I watch about 10 different Norm Macdonald videos. It's weird.
Oh, you have to. Yeah, you have to. Here, I'm thinking of one of the funniest things ever is, you know, and I get, you know, you get asked, and someone who knows you a little more intimately than other people, right? And you end up telling this story about how you were, you know, gravely afflicted with addiction, and that you're, you know, the case with me is, so now I'm 13 plus years clean and sober, right?
Way to go, man. That's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. And everyone will go, most people will go, that's fantastic, just like you, right? That's great. It really is. And it really is. When I look back, I only appreciate, you know, now and probably some faith that I look back and go, oh my God, 13 years, you know, because when I first nudged. So when you do tell people that, right, they hug you, you don't even know them. They go, that's unbelievable. It's the support. And if I can ever do anything, holy Christ, you know, I feel like we're close. And way to go, you know, well, what a credit you are. Right? So I'm with Chris Chelios at an event, okay? And we're in a bar in Vegas at the Bellagio Hotel. Everyone sort of migrated. This is a few years ago. Everyone migrated there after a big dinner. And this is the first time, Stevie, I've been around what they call bottle service now, okay? Like in a bar. And what that is they kind of, like Dustin was in there and Paulina, and we're all in this sort of roped off area, you know, and they just bring bottles of booze. They don't bring drinks. They bring your own bottle, you know, and you make up your own drinks if you want. And so it's quite a party, Steve.
Cool.
Everyone's fucking annihilated. And they offer me a drink, right? And I say no. And someone goes, oh, yeah, you don't drink. And I'm Chellers is sitting beside me. And I'm going, no, I haven't drank in 10 years or whatever it was. And Chellers grabs one of the big bottles of vodka, right? And he starts to wave it in front of my face. He's going,
oh boy.
Do you have issues?
Thanks. Thanks.
He's going like this. He's going, well, is it a problem? Have you had a bad life?
Wow, that's dark.
It was priceless. It was absolutely priceless. You know, why do you have issues? He's waving it like a pendulum, you know, from a grandfather clock in front of me.
You're an old veteran of resistance at that stage in your recovery. So if it was like day two or something, then maybe it's not so funny.
Not so funny if guys knew you were only 48 hours, you know? Anyway, it was terribly funny, you know, to go the absolute opposite of what everyone does. It was very funny. Do you have issues?
Yeah.
Like this, you know? Sound like Sebastian Maniscalco, you know? Was he embarrassed?
What's the matter with you?
You drank so much, you know? Yeah.
You know, I think I really do admire it because as, you know, I think about just as someone who's never had that issue, like, but I also understand what cravings are like. And yesterday morning, the day after my son's 28th birthday, by the way, happy birthday nice. To Michael. and my adventures in autism are now 28 years old. It's crazy. But he had a nice birthday cake. So it was a massive piece of birthday cake, one left. And first thing in the morning, I pour a coffee and I'm sipping, looking out the window. And I look down and I see the cake and I say, I'm eating that. The craving was so strong, I had to take that cake down. And then I think about what you had to deal with and the cravings that must have gone on with your recovery here, which is 1 million times worse than any craving for a piece of bloody birthday cake. And I know how strong that was for me yesterday morning. It just, I have nothing but admiration for it because I so often give into those types of temptations.
Well, you know, and then we can move along, but the craving, well, that's what keeps people using and drinking when they said they wouldn't, you know, is the craving becomes unbearable.
Sure.
It just becomes overwhelming, you know? And so when I started to try and stop on my own from, you know, to try and get past these cravings, I just never could.
Yeah.
You know, I started trying that when I was like 26, you know, when I knew I had a problem. I knew I recognized I had a problem. So I started trying to quit, you know, to get over those cravings. It took me 20 years.
Yeah.
It took me 22 years to get over the craving. You know,
right.
to get by with it. So anyway.
And now your addictions lie elsewhere in podcasting.
Do you have issues? Do you have issues, Steve? This birthday cake? Do you find sugar, Steve, a little troublesome for you?
Oh, it was sad. And I knew when I was eating a Mowen down on it, it's like, oh, what are you doing? You're deep in the middle age. And you're
loser.
Exactly. Exactly. Let's jump in. We got lots to get to today. One of the interesting NHL stories of the day, as we're recording this on Tuesday, October 24th, is the hype factor that the NHL is trying to build up for something that me as a hockey fan, I kind of look at it and I go, all right, I'm fine. That's great. They're jamming in all the 16 games tonight. So that means every single team is playing and they're staggering the games every 15 minutes. Oh. And they're calling it the frozen frenzy.
Oh.
And I guess my only thought would be, I'm not that into this. I'm going to watch the Senators take on the Buffalo Sabres tonight. And by then it'll be what? The 6:45 start. So that'll be over around 9:15, 9:30. And then I'll probably, I don't know, do a little work and then go to bed.
Right.
I'm not why is that I guess it's gimmicky and everything. It's kind of cool. Yeah. As a headline, but it certainly doesn't benefit me as a hockey fan to jam 16 games on in one night. And by the way, not a Saturday night when you might watch two or three games on a Tuesday night. What's up with that?
Yeah. I saw that. Yeah. And I thought, I don't think that'll make a difference on anything. I don't, you know, I just, I, It's you know, it's like when they started pitching 750 games, Stevie.
Yeah.
Just before streaming or whatever, right? When the NHL package, everyone used to say, do you have the NHL package? No. Oh, do you embarrassed? You don't have the package, right?
Sebastian's all over the show.
Sebastian's
today.
Everywhere. Yeah. What can, you know, it's like, how many games are you going to watch? You know, how many games are you going to watch? You know, the guy, even yourself, right? Who's a rabid fan of sports, who's a huge NFL fan. Even you now, right? Said, well, I watch a bit on the Sundays. You know, everyone glimpses at the Sunday, Monday, Thursday nighters. But you probably don't do much more than that, Steve, anymore, right? You're probably like, you know, oh, well, I mean, highlight packages are so good. You know, there's shows after, right? That break down games. There's, I think there's a show now that they came out with, Steve, in the NFL that they're going to show every touchdown from that week.
Okay.
Something like that, right? So,
well, they've got the red zone that I love. As an NFL fan, the red zone is amazing in that they basically just bounce all over the NFL and get you. You'll watch for a while and, oh, something big's happened over here, and they whip over there screen in screen, and you can look at that picture in picture. I mean, and that's very cool. I enjoy that. And largely because the NFL lends itself to that. I can flick away in general from one game to another and watch about half a quarter of the game that's on, while the first game I was watching was just in a commercial break because they go on forever, as we know. There's so many stoppages in the NFL, is my point. It lends itself to flicking. The NHL, on the other hand, does not.
Yeah. I'll say this, right? So I've got network TV, okay? I might be one of the rare guys now that has terrestrial cable. But even that, so I've got five channels on TSN, and I've got four or five channels, whatever there is, on Sportsnet.
Right.
Okay. So when I tune in, I check the schedule. I've got my four teams highlighted. Okay. That pop up in yellow, Steve, so I can see right away. It's the Oilers. I got the Leafs on there. I've got Vancouver on there because I'm my buddy Rick Tocchet, right, is coaching. And I've got maybe Calgary or someone else. Okay. Right. I forget who it is. Well, I can look, Stevie, actually, because all the teams are playing tonight, Steve.
I know.
In a brilliant move by the NHL, you know, and I'll get back to the other story we're talking about in a second. But this, Stevie, this was brilliant. You okay?
So that, handy for you, yeah. And they've posted it all on the information superhighway for you to go check now. This is amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. Technology. So my four teams are the Leafs. Yeah, Ottawa. Okay, so I got the Leafs highlighted, Ottawa, Edmonton, and Vancouver.
Okay.
So that's what I look at when I flip it on, right, when I open it up. And then I'll go to Sportsnet, but some of that will be blacked out. Okay, like it'll say Sportsnet West, Sportsnet Pacific, Sportsnet Central, Sportsnet East. I forget what else they have. However, the place I'm staying at right now, some hookup where you get every game on every sports, there's no blackouts. No blackouts. I'll have to get back to the good listener with it. It may even be through Prime or Amazon Prime or something where you can get all these channels that there are no blackouts. So I ended up getting games I normally wouldn't on a normal cable package. So that's cool. So I like that. But
I wonder about the blackout thing sometimes. Like, I mean, I remember the old Ottawa Rough Riders used to do it back in the day in the 70s and 80s, right? Until you sell out Lansdowne Park, this game is a blackout.
Right.
The blackout's different now in that they'll blackout games to protect markets. And what I find fascinating in this town is that the Leafs games sometimes don't get broadcast into Ottawa. There's a sensitivity about coming into another market. And yet TSN 1200, we talked about this in the last episode, and that they're playing a lot of Toronto programming now, and there's Leaf talk all the time, and I can't believe the Sens aren't doing something to black that out, because that's not necessarily good for business either. But
that is
neither here nor there, and it's going to be an interesting day with 16 games.
Yeah. So what happens, Steve? So you know, it's like, okay, how are you going to market 16 games? right? Mm-hmm. How are you gonna who are you hitting here? Okay. And what do you do, right? And I think what they're probably doing, Stevie, the reason they got the 16 games, there's no doubt in my mind, is the gambling aspect.
Right.
Right. There's no doubt that that's the, you know, the gambling is the biggest thing that ever came along for, to increase viewership. You would think. I don't know what the numbers are, you know, so, you know, you're going to go like when they promote teams now, Stevie, they don't do it like they're rolling at 6-1, right? They go, Connor McDavid's got the 24 game win streak going, you know, him and Draisaitl are about to bust the 20 point bubble quicker than anybody. Don't forget Connor McBedard, number one pick here. You know, there's a goalie. If he gets a shutout tonight, it's good, right? So it's all these sort of individual things, ironically, promoting team sports, right? That, you know, this coach is trying to get his 1,000th win or shit like that. So, but the gambling for sure is the big item. There's no doubt, right?
Well, I think so. Yeah, I'm as an NFL fantasy football player, I flick around to specific games just because it's in my bottom line best interest. It has nothing to do with my interest level in the game, and so there'll be some of that as right. well. And there's a gimmicky factor in that it's something else to sell in the headlines. Everybody's playing tonight. That's cool, but that's where it begins and ends for me because I'm not in any NHL pools and I don't gamble on the NHL very often. I'm just mostly covering the Senators, seeing what they're up to. And that's about the extent of it. And beyond that, I mean, I'll check out the headlines and the highlights elsewhere, but it's pretty much all Ottawa Senators all the time for me, being the hockey news site editor of the Ottawa Senators site.
There you go.
Anyway.
They're not bad at 3-2.
Yep. Off to a decent start, trying to rally after a very bad second and third period on Saturday afternoon against Alex DeBrincat and the Detroit Red Wings. A lot of booing every time DeBrincat touched the puck after he parted company with the Sens after just one season, kind of had the Sens over a barrel in that he was going to be a UFA next summer. He needed one more year to get there, and he was an RFA, and so he decided, you know what, I'm not signing long-term with you guys. I'd be happy to sign a 1 year, but the Sens decided to move him along and get something for him rather than lose him for nothing next year.
Ladies and gentlemen, rev up your engines and get ready for the deal of a lifetime. Jim K. Ford is proud to announce the 2023 Ford F-150 Clearout Sale, the event you've been waiting for. For a limited time only, Jim K. Ford is offering unbeatable discounts, jaw-dropping financing options, and mind-blowing trade-in deals. Don't miss out on the 2023 Ford F-150 Clearout Sale at Jim K. Ford, 1438 Uville Drive in Orleans, or jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
If you're looking to buy or sell your home, the Glenn Walton Real Estate Team can help. Glenn helped me sell a home a couple of years ago and did so much for us, including staging. He provided a great painter, a cleaner, even bought new ceiling lights for us, all to make sure the home was looking its best on picture day. All part of his services, built in. He can do the same for you. Visit glennwalton.com. So I thought this was an interesting story about fighting in hockey. It will be a debate until the day the NHL bans fighting or throws players out the way the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League is this year. Mm-hmm. Some people, generally old schoolers, say it does have value, that it can really bring swagger to a team. If there's a guy out there who's an enforcer, goes out there and gets in a fight, can turn momentum around in games. Other people say they're a complete waste of a roster spot and they'd love to see fighting, the notion of it, fired into the sun forever. Well, there's a story in at yahoo.com in their sports section, and it's kind of interesting in that it tracks Ryan Reeves' career. Ryan Reeves is a veteran enforcer in the NHL, still one of the heavyweights for sure. And there's been, you know, a little bit of discussion about what his value is in Toronto, probably the most popular team in the National Hockey League. Is there any value to having Ryan Reeves around? Do those types of players truly set a tone and change momentum?
Right.
And this Yahoo story suggests pretty clearly that it does. They went and used the website hockeyfights.com. Mm-hmm. They found the moment of the 83 regular season fights of Ryan Reeves' career and then tracked what happened in the 10 minutes following those bouts. Okay. And after Reeves has fought, his teams have done very, very well. Following his fights, his teams have outshot opponents in the next 10 minutes, 410 to 361 and have outscored them 46 to 25. Is that a surprise to you as someone who has, you were around for the Gretzky days and Dave Semenko had his back and changed the momentum in a game or two? Are you surprised to hear that in 2023, at least based on Ryan Reeves' fights, that he has changed the complexion of games?
No, I got, I didn't know. What a great exercise that someone finally went through, finally was to give Liam a leg to stand on.
Yeah.
That's it. That's totally interesting, right? Totally interesting. That the fact of the matter is, this is, is this a reason to have fighting? It has nothing to do with why they don't want fighting, right? It has nothing to do with why they don't want fighting. They don't want fighting for the issue, the health issue, the safety issue, right?
Right.
That they don't want it in stage fights and all that shit.
And I think we're in a, sort of a pacifist world now in that people look at it and find it barbaric in what's supposed to be a beautiful, skilled, fast game. There are some, I would say generally newer fans who look at the fighting part as being obsolete and needs to go.
Yeah, there's kind of lots of examples when you think about it, when the exercise this person went through, in games, watch a fight, Stevie. Watch a fight where someone's lippy and on the stands and they're lipping each other out, and then someone comes in and busts the guy's jaw, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone's like, yeah. It's like, you go, guys. Anyway, that's, totally interesting. So what can you do as a team going, okay, well, let's fight. Let's fight more, when we're going bad, let's do it. I would based on that.
I think it comes down to, do you believe that you can be energized by exterior forces? I think most fans, even the ones who don't like fighting very much, would suggest that teams can get energized by a home crowd that's going absolutely bananas.
Right.
It energizes you. And if you believe in that, then you should believe at least in a small way in what a fight can do. Like, I mean, just in my stupid low-end hockey that I played as a kid, it was all contact hockey, and there would be the odd fight. And when guys took up for me, like, I felt, that's my best friend in the world. I freaking love that guy. I'd do anything for him because he fought for me. And the energy that it created on the bench, it's not just a minor hockey. I mean, you see it in the NHL. And it's nice to have some science now behind it in that Yahoo story. There's actually a guy who tracked it and looked at the minutes and the change in the complexion of the game momentum-wise that occurred. Because up until now, it's all been kind of anecdotal. And people will accuse players of saying, well, of course he's not going to speak ill of his enforcer. He's a teammate. He's going to say, oh, yeah, he means a lot to me. He's a team. They don't buy it. They just think that they're just saying that.
Right.
Well, now I think you have to look at it. Like, I'll take the Chris Neal thing. 2017 playoffs. The Rangers' Tanner Glass is running around like a moron. They sub in Chris Neal for just a minute, and he ragdolls Tanner Glass on one single shift, and the Sens played completely different after that. Glass was running amok. He was bugging everybody, and everybody on that Senator bench said they felt like they were 2 feet taller after Chris Neal went out and did that. And so now we have some science to go with the anecdotal evidence, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll. I wonder if coaches will look at that today and go, huh. Next time we're down a couple goals, let's go bust someone's face.
I think most NHL coaches already feel that way.
I think they probably do.
I think it's mostly fans and media that are, again, skewing to the younger, newer side of the sport, and they come into it like, oh, I want to change it all around, as opposed to the sport it's been for 100 years.
Yeah.
Anyway,
as long as there's MMA around and shit like that, they might go, hey, don't worry about people getting hurt in hockey fights.
Yeah. That's a good point. Right?
People are watching MMA in fucking droves, man. Mm-hmm. In droves, they're watching it. So
yeah, that's the thing. The
street fighting and bare knuckles fighting and all, it's alive and well, man.
Yeah. And now we're getting to a stage where you can't even hit that hard anymore. I think we're at a point now where, okay, everybody's safe out there, or safer. But, you know, you'll suddenly start flicking the channel going, I'm not really into this game right now. And you won't know quite why. And I think that'll be part of the reason behind it.
Right. Right.
We're old enough to remember a hockey icon from back in the day, James.
Gordie Howe.
Howdy, hockey fans. It's your old poke check professor, Peter Puck, with a few interesting items about one of the real old mugs of hockey. As a matter of fact, it's the oldest trophy competed for by professional athletes in North America.
I love that sound because
that slap shot.
Yeah, that would inevitably happen to Peter Puck in every episode. This aired in the 1970s in between periods. It was Brian McFarlane's brainchild, I believe. And yeah. Hanna-Barbera did some pretty good, you know, cartoon work with it and our animation. And he would try and explain the game of hockey to kids, but invariably he'd be interrupted by getting, you know, smashed with a slap shot 4 or 5 times every episode. And I do remember loving that, looking forward to that as a little kid. And Peter Puck turned 50 this year, and I guess they've outlined a whole bunch of new merchandise. He's going to be in there helping promote safe, fun hockey. And there's now a Penny Puck as well. He's got a sister.
What? Named, you got a girlfriend?
I don't know if it's sister. I think it's sister. Well, I don't know. Maybe they got married. I don't know. It's a group that is acquired the licensing rights to Peter and Penny Puck. I'm not sure what the relationship is there.
If I had a penny for every time Puck. No. Okay. It was something there, Steve. I could come up with.
No. I think it needs a little, you know, I think it's going to work, but you got to go back to the drawing board with it. A little more organization there.
Watch Peter get beaten with this hockey stick at 70 miles an hour. He flies through the air. I remember that.
Yeah. Oh, it's a classic. They had a big compilation comic book as well that I got for Christmas one year. So anyway, that was back in, debuted in 1973. And it was in between periods on a Sunday afternoon NHL game on NBC between the Flames and the Leafs. I do remember Sunday afternoon hockey. That was like a real, because I mean, you didn't have to stay up and have a nap or anything. It's right on. It's in the middle of the day. This is great. By the way, before we wrap up, this is driving me crazy watching this guy. So something's got to be done about Washington Capitals forward Yevgeny Kuznetsov. This is a guy that, I don't know, I think over the last 3 or 4 years anyway, his last 10, 15 shootout attempts, he goes like a toddler who's just learning to skate could get from center ice to the net faster than Kuznetsov does in his approach on his shootout attempts. And it works. I think he's only missed once and missed the net. It was his own deal. The goalie didn't stop it. He's only missed once in, I don't know, 10, 15 tries. But it's a joke. Like, you got to do something with that. You got to put a shot clock on it.
Time clock or something, yeah.
Or make it bear some resemblance to the actual sport of hockey. You know, put a tiger on the ice and have him, you know, because he has to get, by the time the tiger gets to you on the ice, you will either have shot and missed or scored.
Or lost your life.
Or you'll have been eaten, yeah. So I think that's.
It's a bit of a stretch, Stevie.
Entertainment, though. Don't tell me that's not entertaining.
That's good, but usually that's an indication that the show's done when you've gone so ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, I've been so ridiculous.
Okay, it's so ridiculous.
Our website is stevewproject.com, and we invite you to check that out. All our contact information is there. Find out about who we are exactly. Yeah, it's not that much there.
2024, 2025?
That doesn't work.
Maybe it's 1950.
Does not work.
1949, that doesn't equal 20.
Apparently, I screwed up in terms of David Johnson, good listener to the program, always straightens me out if I've mucked something up. I think I talked about the Leafs goal song over the last
year. Love those guys, Stevie, right? That weigh in with the mistakes.
Oh, but he's a big fan of the show. He's good. And then I think I referenced that it was Hall & Oates. I may have said something along the lines, I tried to sing it to you in the last episode. You make me feel brand new.
That's why I didn't know it.
Yeah, no. It's You Make My Dreams Come True is the actual lyrics, and I'm mocking.
You Make My Dreams Come True. I remember that one.
That's right. So,
that's Oates and Hall. Is that Oates and Hall?
Hall and Oates. Hall and Oates. Yeah.
Who's Hall and Oates?
Yeah, exactly.
Who's lifting those oats, Stevie? Who's Hall and Oates?
Exactly. That is, I think, the idea. The show is over.
Time to leave the show.
That's. Enjoy your week, everybody. Thank you very much for being with us. Don't forget our Patreon memberships. That'd be great if you consider. If you're enjoying the show and want to keep it chugging along, keep Jimmy in the cigarettes of which he's accustomed to.
Yes.
Yeah, you can do that at stevewproject.com as well. James, enjoy your week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Good night, everybody.
We'll see you.
Thanks for being with us on the SWP. Please subscribe today or support us on Patreon at stevewproject.com.